Bristow by Frank Dickens, with Michael Williams as Bristow, Rodney Bewes as Jones, Owen Brenman as Hewitt, Dora Bryan as Mrs. Purdy, and featuring Liz Fraser and Joan Sims as Gert and Daisy. Of Moles and Men.
I am a very private man, and because of this, respect the privacy of others. In modern times, the invasion of another's privacy is accepted as the norm, and due to this, those well off enough must take stringent measures to ensure that those in their domestic employ do not go around spilling the beans or blowing the gaff, as it is called in the underworld. I was reminded of this the other day, when I ran into Gert and Daisy, two members of the Chester Perry cleaning staff, enjoying a well-earned tea break.
Oh. Anyway, so I said to her, Lady Chester Perry, I said, my mother, God rest her, who worked for Lady Spicer before the war, always wore gloves for the protection of her hands. It's the first thing a gentleman notices about a member of the opposite sex, her hands.
Her hands, yes.
I mean, it doesn't matter what the rest of her is like. It's the hands that attract the men.
Hands, yes, like a peacock's feathers, the hands.
Peacock's feathers? What are you talking about?
A peacock's feathers to attract the female. It was on the telly.
No, you're talking body language with peacocks. I'm talking texture, not body language. The beauty of the hands, not waving about.
The beauty, yes.
Well, our lady,
just a penny, yes.
She didn't like me speaking my mind like that because, you see, you can't see the beauty of her fingers for diamond rings.
Good morning, lady, sir. I hope I'm not intruding on your private conversation. But I heard mention of Lady Chester Perry. Do you know her?
Oh, of course we do. We clean for her.
You clean Sir Reginald's stately home, Dunwell Manor.
Oh, it's not called Dunwell Manor, except by the people that work here. It's called The Grange.
The Grange, yes.
Yeah. What's it like?
Oh, we're not allowed to discuss
it. Not allowed.
We have to sign a paper, don't we, Dave?
Yes, to keep it secret.
Oh, I see. A sort of official secret act.
Our lips are sealed.
My lips are, yours aren't. You're always talking about it.
Oh.
Morning, Mr.
Hi, Jack.
Morning, Mr. Jones.
Morning, Jones. Did you know these two clean for the Chester Perrys?
Dunwell Manor?
Oh, it's not called that, really. It's called The Grange.
No, I didn't. So you see our beloved firm's founder in the privacy of his own home.
That's right.
Do you speak to him?
Of course we do.
Every day?
Yeah.
Do you talk to him about what goes on here?
Of course we do. But our lips are sealed, aren't they, Jones?
Yeah, they have to sign an official secrets thing.
Well,
yeah.
You should have refused. They're public figures. Therefore, public domain. At my further education class last night, we were discussing the royal family and their rights to privacy. That's the nice thing about going to further education classes, discussing items of general interest.
Further education? What are you talking about?
Didn't I tell you? Well, I'm attending further education classes every evening.
That's the first I've heard of it.
I didn't mention it because I know you take no interest in the future, like most of Sir Reginald's employees, and I didn't think you were interested in bettering yourself.
Thank you, Jones, for those incisive comments on the lack of enthusiasm on the part of your fellow workers to better themselves.
Yeah.
But the subject I was discussing with these ladies was the intrusion into the private lives by the modern generation.
And as I was saying, if you were paying attention, and this is another failing of those who have no desire to better themselves, that people in the public eye, and I include Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry in that class, are public property, and like the royals, we have a right to know what they do in private.
Yeah, but with the greatest respect, might I say that you are talking through your further development hat when you say that our beloved firm's founder, and his even more beloved wife, are public property.
Well, they are
famous, Mr. Bristow. That's the price of fame.
Yes.
That's why we have to sign that paper, isn't it, Dave?
What piece of paper is that, Dirk?
Well, you know, the piece of paper that said we wouldn't go round talking about things. That piece of paper we signed.
I signed it. I don't know whether you signed it. You were talking non-stop.
Oh.
You get carried away at times. Proper motor mouth you some days.
Steady, ladies.
Morning, ladies.
Oh,
good morning, Hewitt. Hewitt, you represent the younger generation, so your teeny, teeny, tiny views must be worth something. Do you think Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry are public figures, and if so, are in the public domain?
You mean like Beckham and Posh Spice?
Oh. Yeah, I knew it was silly of us to ask.
Bristow, don't dismiss him like that. He's making a valid point.
Yes.
Whoever it was he's talking about are obviously in the public eye, and that is what we're discussing at the moment. Hewitt, I was at my further education classes last night,
right,
discussing well-known people and whether they are in public domain.
Well, I should think Beckham and Posh Spice are. They're in Everything Going. Now, personally, I think they are wrong for each other. Mm. Dave should have stuck to the ball.
Yes. I told you it was silly to get him
just
involved.
Just a minute, Bristow. Just a minute. Hewitt is answering the question. He has an opinion. And this is because Beckham and Posh Spice are high-profile figures and naturally of public interest.
What is going on?
Oh, sorry.
Haven't you people got anything to do?
Yes, yes, of course.
You cleaners, kindly get about your business and stop distracting my staff!
Oh, what a misery. Yeah. He's not allowed to talk to us like that, is he?
No, we don't mind.
What?
He likes to let off some steam every now and then. Puts him in a good mood for about 5 seconds.
Well, I don't like it.
I don't like it either, Gert. I'm going to tell Sir Reginald.
Well, you better let me talk to him. I'm better at it than you. Mm. Goodbye, gentlemen.
Oh, goodbye.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for the...
Little did I realize, as the door closed behind them, that a door had opened to the unmentionable and unspeakable Jones, who had, without anyone suspecting, already begun to make use of those two hard-working cleaning ladies, and was already infiltrating Dunwell Manor through the tradesman's entrance. It was not until the next day that I realized that Gert and Daisy were to be taken seriously. They were enjoying another well-earned tea break when the fudge entered.
Bristow. Good morning, ladies.
Morning,
Mr. Fudge.
Congratulations, ladies. It's the first time I've ever heard him deliver a grovelling apology.
Time he was taught some manners. Now, where was our days?
He was putting Sir Reginald in his place.
Oh, that's right. So I said to him, I said, Sir Reginald, I said, with respect, you are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Your staff are not mindless worker bees simply toiling to acquire the remuneration that is their honey. They are hard-working and thinking people, eager to develop their minds.
Oh.
Like Mr. Jones of the buying department, who attends further education classes for that very purpose.
What purpose is that, Dora?
To develop his mind.
Oh.
That's why he goes to classes. Oh, I wish you'd pay attention.
Oh, sorry.
Jones of buying, he said in that la-di-da voice of his. I must make a note of that name. People with ambition are few and far between and worth keeping an eye on.
I suddenly realized the evil that is Jones. He had cottoned on during yesterday's conversation with Gert and Daisy that they were of use, and his mention of attending further education classes had been deliberately planted to ensure that Sir Reginald Chester Perry, our beloved firm's founder, would get to hear about him. A vacancy had occurred for an assistant head of production control, and, like mine, his hat was in the ring. I decided to tackle him the very earliest opportunity. It came during an enforced rest in the grueling Chester Perry work schedule.
Jones, would you mind if I ask you a personal question?
That depends on how personal it is. Is it normal personal, medium personal, or smack in the mouth personal?
Normal.
Fire away.
What would you say if I told you, with all respect, you are the slimiest, double-crossingest, double-dealingest, sycophanticist, evilest, schemingest, unsavouriest, backstabbing blackguard I have ever met?
Dear, oh dear, oh dear. I know what you're trying to say, Bristow, but you don't have the vocabulary to put it across. I suggest evening classes on basic English will help, if you really want to express your feelings properly.
Don't give me that nonsense you were trying on the cleaning ladies earlier.
Me?
That mention of further education classes was expressly aimed at planting the image of yourself as an ambitious would-be executive.
No,
knowing
never.
They would mention it to Sir Reginald. You've never been to a further education class in your life, you charlatan.
You are only annoyed because you didn't think of it first. No, 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 as they probably say at further education classes.
Smothering a curse, I took some extra work into the typing pool. I hate suffering alone.
Good afternoon, Miss Sunderland. An angel dressed in a woman's
fun. Oh.
Are you putting on a little weight? Or is it a trick of the light?
It might be weight, but it doesn't matter. I started aerobic classes last week. The weight will soon come off.
Yeah. Aerobic classes, eh? Very trendy.
I'll say. Sir Reginald Chester Perry's daughter, Fiona, is in my class.
Wow. Do you speak to her?
Of course. She's easy to talk to.
Do you mention work?
If it crops up, yes.
Yeah, I thought it would. I was talking to someone in my advanced further education classes about that kind of thing last night.
You go to advanced further education classes? Mm. I had no idea. You've never mentioned that before.
Yeah, it's not the kind of thing you talk about. You just do it if you're ambitious. Mm. You have to these days to keep up with the pace of modern business, especially if you want to get on.
That's what Mr. Hewitt says. He was in here just now. Apparently, he attends junior further education classes for the very same reason.
Oh, he's a funny lad. He calls them junior further education classes, but they are just a bunch of teenage tearaways that meet on street corners and whistle at girls. It's funny the amount of time one wastes when one is young, and how one only realizes it as one grows up. I used to laugh at further education, but now I can't get enough of the stuff. Let's get up that ladder.
Oh, Mr. Bristow, although you act as an easygoing, eager-to-please kind of guy, I think underneath you're as hard as nails.
You are right, Miss Sunman. They don't come any harder than me.
And ruthless, too.
Right on, Miss Sunman. They don't come any more ruthless than me. Hard as nails and ruthless, too.
So, how come, if you are as hard as nails and ruthless, too, you're only 18th in line for chief buyer?
Well, underneath the hard as nails and ruthless facade, I'm an easygoing, eager-to-please kind of guy.
Miss Sunman, there's a Fiona Chester Perry on the telephone in my office asking for you. Would that be Sir Reginald's daughter?
Yes. I'm so sorry, Miss Glockling. She doesn't know we're not allowed personal phone calls. Could you tell her to call back?
No, that'll be all right. Take it in my office.
Oh, thank you, Miss Blockling. Excuse me, Mr. Bristow.
These modern youngsters. Time was when top management and employees never made eye contact, never mind rang each other up. I don't really approve, I'm afraid. I'm one of the old school.
Yeah.
I don't go for these classes where staff and management meet socially, and I don't think attending them is a good career move. But judging by what is in front of me, you wouldn't know anything about good career moves.
Would it be possible for me to leave at 4:30 this afternoon? Fiona wants me to go shopping with her.
Of course you may go at 4:30. Be sure you tell her you have my permission.
Thank you, Miss Glockley.
I'm not so sure I agree with your decision, Miss Glockley. Just because Fiona is the only daughter of our beloved firm's founder, she carries no weight here. But even as I speak, I realise I'm being stupid, because being the only daughter of the firm's founder gives her quite a lot of weight here. And I think you have made a good career move. Bye.
I decided to enroll in further education classes without further ado. Miss Glockling had been wrong to dismiss them so quickly.
To my mind, they were an essential career move. Had not Sir Reginald, in his conversation with Girton Daisy, noted Jones as a person to keep an eye on? And had not this Sunman, purely through a connection at her classes, been able to leave work early? And it seems to me that if you can get time off by mentioning someone you meet at evening classes, then I'm all for evening classes. For getting time off is the best career move of them all.
Here!
Good morning, Mrs. Purdy. Cup of your wet and warm, please. Strong enough so that when I drink it, I stagger round the office like a drunkard on uneven paving stones.
Oh, you like it that strong, do you? Well, stand well back. That's the way they like it at evening classes.
Don't tell me you attend evening classes.
I don't attend them. Well, I do, but only to do the refreshment.
Where do they hold these classes?
Oh, all over the place. The majority of the people here go to St. Mary's Mixed Infant School. Why are you asking? Are you thinking of going?
As a matter of fact, I am.
Oh, you should. Best thing to do these days. You can never get enough education. I said that to my husband, but you can't tell him anything. I've got my education in the University of Life, he says. Pig ignorant he is. I'm proud of it. And our eldest son, Elvis, takes after him. All he thinks about is football. Football mad he is. Where's that going to get him? He works in a warehouse. If it was good enough for Dad, it's good enough for me, he says. Oh, I married badly, Mr. Bristow. I should have married Roger Gatsby, the jeweller. Ah. He promised to smother my hands and wrists in diamonds, he did. Have you finished with your towel?
Yes, thank you. Oh, that was nice and strong. I can feel my desk swaying about like a boat on water.
Bon voyage! That's French!
Hey, I think it's all systems go. I have the desire to acquire further education, and I know where it can be obtained. There is nothing to stop me.
Morning, Mr. Bristow.
Ah, Hewitt. I've decided to enroll for evening classes. Why don't you join me? Or perhaps you'd rather stick to your make-believe junior education lessons.
Oh, you've been talking to Miss Sunman. I only told her that because she goes to aerobic classes with Chester Perry's daughter, Fiona, and I thought Fiona might be interested in a young swinger who wants to further his career.
Patently absurd. But carry on.
Well, I'm interested, yes, but I don't know whether I'd like to attend the same classes as you. Well, I'm a much younger man and naturally prefer the company of people my own age. I feel that by going to classes where there are loads of geriatrics, and no offence meant, I'd be missing out on the dolly birds.
Bristow. Morning, Hewitt.
Well, Mr. Further Education himself. Come to impart more words of wisdom, have we? More stuff from the non-existent night classes.
You don't have to actually attend evening classes to learn the job of assistant head of production control. You have to let people believe you attend them. Get the word to the people who decide these things. It's common sense. Yes. What they call using the old grey matter.
Well, you're saying you don't go to evening classes?
No.
You said you did. In front of the cleaning ladies, and I believed you. Oh, you were telling lies, weren't you?
Very
funny. Well, I'm disappointed in you, Mr. Jones.
You modern generation. We were like that once.
Jones, you may have been. I was never like that.
I spent the first part of the afternoon smarting, and the rest polishing my halo. For was I not going off to try and better myself? After we finished work for the day, I hastened downstairs to the front desk to ask the whereabouts of the school Mrs. Purdy had mentioned earlier.
St. Mary's Mixed Infants.
Yes, that's right, Eddie.
Well. I never thought the day would come when Mr. Bristow of the buying department would show an interest in further education. Yes. You do well at evening classes. Yes. I've heard you sleep all day, so you should be nice and fresh for the evening.
Where will I find it?
Down the road, past the Bull and Bucket, left at the Crown and Two Chairmen, straight on past the Anchor, and Wait a minute. Wrong image. You're going to evening classes. Sorry. So, down to Dillon's, the bookshop. Left at the library, straight on when you get to the university.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Bristow. Yes, madam.
funny how a sudden spring comes into my step when the Chester Perry building is behind me. Here we are. St. Mary's Mixed Infant School. If you can read this, you are too old. Please ring for attention.
Hello?
Holy mackerel. Are you still in school?
No, I live here with my mummy. You pressed the wrong bell.
Sorry.
Yes?
Is this the place for evening classes?
Yes.
I know that face. Aren't you Mr. Stokes, the concierge at Chester Perry's?
I'm the caretaker, if that's what you mean. I know your face too. You're Mr. Jones's friend. You're the chap that's always treading on my cat. Her pitiful cries are with me still. A word of warning, they got a cat here too. I don't believe it. What's the matter with you?
I'm sorry, I'm terribly sorry. I didn't see it.
Just hope nobody finds out. You ought to get your eyes...
Never mind about my eyes. I said sorry. I'm trying to find out about evening classes.
Oh, you come to the wrong person to find out about that. If it was to do with classrooms or the toilets, you'd be talking to the right man. If it was about the cloakrooms or toy cupboards, you'd find none more helpful. If it was about playgrounds and swings and roundabouts, go no further. But evening classes, that's my Achilles heel.
What's going on out here?
This chap's trod on the cat. Does it all the time.
I didn't see it.
He's got bad blood, that's what he's got. Bad blood.
David, I'll take over. Your face is going bright red. You go and lie down. You work at Chester Perry's, don't you?
Yes.
I've seen you gazing out of the window on the second floor of the Chester Perry building. You've been doing it for years. No matter what time of the day it is. You're a landmark. What can we do for you?
I'm interested in further education classes.
Are you? I mean, are you?
Yes, I am. I'd like to enroll. I'd like to start tonight.
I'm afraid that's not possible.
Not possible? Why is that?
We are nearing the end of term.
Oh, that's all right. I can catch up. I learn quickly. I have a retentive memory, like a sponge. Dates, times, places, no problem. Try me.
Try and remember. The new term starts on the 3rd of September at 7:30.
Hang on, I'd better write that down.
Let me explain. You have to register at the beginning of term. You cannot join a class as and when you feel like it. There are rules. We cannot break the rules. I'm sorry. Perhaps next term.
I'm sorry, but that isn't good enough.
How can I put it in a way you'll understand? Last year, Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry applied for advanced bridge tuition classes, and we were unable to accommodate them because the term had started. Like you, they were not pleased, and we even received a letter from their legal department querying our decision. Fortunately, we were able to produce the rules. If Sir Reginald and Lady Chester Perry were refused, what chance?
I understand. Thank you, and good night. The next day was bright, sunny and warm. Imagine my surprise when, hovering around the cleaning ladies, who were enjoying a well-earned tea break, I was surprised to hear the following.
So I said to him, Sir Reginald, what are you trying to say? Your staff can't spend too much time at night classes. You can't have too much study.
You shouldn't have spoken like that, Gert. He that pays the piper calls the tune, remember? My father told me that. He that pays the piper.
I know about he that pays the piper. I wasn't born yesterday, but I was only speaking my mind days. You can't be hung for speaking your mind.
You can these days, but go on. Tell me what happened.
I quite agree, he replied in that posh way of his. But I will not have people who work for me attending night school to study to the detriment of their work.
He's right. He's paying the piper, isn't he?
Course he's right, and he's entitled to call the tune.
He's had Mr. Jones checked out.
Yes. Oh, he has. He told me, after our conversation the day before yesterday, he said, I asked for a report on Mr. Jones and was surprised to find both it and him curiously negative on all counts.
Negative? That means he's no good.
Right on. He said, if he claims to attend evening classes, and I have my doubts about that, I can only assume he realises he has no future with us and is studying before applying for a position elsewhere, he said.
Fancy.
Good morning, Edith.
Oh, don't we look smart this morning?
Very smart, a credit. A credit to his mother and family.
Yes.
Thank you. I'd like to dress up sometime tonight. Is my fridge night.
Oh, hey, bridge. Mm. Oh, isn't that funny? Tell him, Daisy.
Sir Reginald likes bridge. He plays a lot of bridge.
Oh, is that so? Mm. Well, I never. Well, that is a surprise.
Oh.
Good morning, Hewitt.
Oh, morning.
Cheer up, the pair of you. It's not the end of the world.
It might just as well be.
Why? What's wrong?
What's wrong? I'll tell you what's wrong. They brought in someone from outside as assistant head of production control over our heads. That's what's wrong.
Don't be ridiculous.
He's not being ridiculous, Mr. Bristow. It's true. The tea lady's son, Elvis Purdy, has got the job.
It's impossible. He lives for football. How can a chap who knows nothing except kicking a football around be promoted to assistant head of production control, a position above you, Mr. Jones and myself, who've been here all these years? How is it possible?
He plays football.
So he plays football.
He plays football in the same team as Robin Chester Perry, son of the firm's founder.
Bristow was written by Frank Dickens and featured Michael Williams as Bristow, Rodney Bewes as Jones, Owen Brenman as Hewitt, Dora Bryan as Mrs. Purdy, Liz Fraser as Gert, Joan Sims as Daisy, Katie Odie as Miss Sunman, John Glover as Fudge and Eddie, David Batley as Stokes, Carol Starks as Miss Glockling, and Jane Booker as the teacher. The music was composed and performed by John Whitehall. The sound recording was by Graham Harper, the director, Neil Cargill.